Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
And we are back. Thanks for tuning in today. Mary and I appreciate knowing you're out there listening to our broadcast and this next episode of the Chief Travel Leader Series. Before we talk travel with the Editor-in-Chief of National Geographic Traveler, George Stone, we want to share that today's broadcast is made possible by Cunard Cruise Line.
When you travel aboard Cunard, you'll experience a wonderful mix of discovery, relaxation, and sophistication at sea or on land. You'll enjoy luxury accommodations, grand feasts, and elegant dining rooms. You can indulge in literary pursuits, theatrical productions, music, relaxing pools, a lively casino. This just all sounds wonderful. And an array of experiences on the ship decks.
Folks, from their famous vessels of the past to today's modern Queen Mary II, Queen Victoria, and Queen Elizabeth, Cunard guests travel in unparalleled style. Travel aboard a Cunard cruise, it's an opportunity to write your own ocean adventure encompassed in legendary luxury. For itineraries and destinations, go to Cunard.com or find a link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
Our next guest in the Chief Travel Leader Series is an avid explorer of the world and a passionate storyteller, perfect attributes for the role of Editor-in-Chief of National Geographic Travel. George Stone joins us today to share his thoughts on travel and how he's working to carry on the legacy of the Nat Geo brand while attracting new audiences with content across many platforms, both in print and digital.
Welcome, George. Thanks for your time this weekend and our exclusive Chief Travel Leader segment with you. Mary and I appreciate your time.
I'm so happy to be here.
You know, I think it's fair to say that when folks hear me say National Geographic Traveler, a positive image and a standard of quality certainly comes to mind. You know, there are other competitors out there like Condé Nast or Travel and Leisure and other online entities. So I really want to know, how do you keep your publications and products cutting edge, fresh, and a leader in the field, you know, when the quantity of media has never been more fractured than it is today?
I think it's a good question, and it's true. At National Geographic, we go back 130 years to 1888, so we have a long legacy of storytelling, and that comes in handy. We have a heritage that has led to an expectation of what is a National Geographic story visually, what is it from a standpoint of a subject matter. But I think the way we're keeping current today is working across platforms, like all media entities are today, but investing considerably in different ways of telling our story through different mediums, through different channels, because of our strength in photographic and visual storytelling, we kind of have baked into our DNA some real assets. We have connections with photographers, connections around the world, and doors fly open for sort of exclusive perspectives on cultures and places because we're National Geographic, so that's part of it. But it is hard. It's a struggle to, you know, to find the very best storytellers. And in that sense, we're right there with every travel portal or site out there.
Yeah, I would think
looking
that's
for
right.
The best writers, producers, yeah.
Let's stay with this a little bit in terms of the cross-platform. When you think about the millions of people you're reaching in print, digital, and social media, if I asked you to narrow the scope a little bit from almost a viewer or a reader standpoint, what do you most want people to gain from Nat Geo Traveler? What does that look like?
I look for curious people. Mm-hmm. We think of ourselves as insatiably curious. I think of the National Geographic Traveler reader as someone who is engaged, who we say someone who travels with passion and purpose. And what we mean by that is someone who's open-minded, curious, is invested in the National Geographic mission of conservation and exploration, but just wants to know. They don't even necessarily have to go. In our next issue, we have a story on Baku, Azerbaijan. Not many readers will probably go,
right. But
our readers want to know, and they're curious, and they want to know what people are thinking, what places look like, what food tastes like. It's very real travel, but
well, and you get a chance to take them there. So that's interesting. You know, clearly as an industry influencer, National Geographic Traveler has that tagline that you just mentioned as far as being travel with passion and purpose. So I really want to know what that means to you personally. Okay, you just mentioned to me what it does for the publication. And how do you keep your team focused on that?
We laugh a lot. We work all the time to think about what are the core values of a National Geographic reader. And that's why I come back to this curiosity. Someone who thinks about National Geographic thinks about powerful visual storytelling, cultural engagement, and going places really to see what the places are, not with bias, not with a perspective for sure. But on our team, we think all the time, you know, what are we producing? How are we sparking curiosity? How are we delivering on that promise? And some of the stories that I love the most, and we have one in our next issue, which is our April-May issue called Amazing Escapes, is an illustrated story where we sent an illustrator named Jean Julien, a French guy, out to Big Sur to drive 101 and illustrate and photograph his journey creatively.
And we just talked about that last segment, so that was a perfect tie into that.
Yeah.
So,
all right, George, I'm going to ask you to just hold for a second so I can reintroduce you to our listeners. If you're just tuning in, joining Robert and me today for our latest Chief Travel Leader segment is the Editor-in-Chief for National Geographic Traveler, George Stone. George, I want to get a little personal with you. And here, how did you get started in the travel industry? And like so many of us in travel, we've had the bug since we were little. Can I assume that you did?
I did, but I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, and so travel for me some of the time was just going to Michigan, and I thought that that was kind of exotic.
Maybe you got to Greenfield Village. That would be an experience.
Oh, I did.
That's
like traveling back in time as well as traveling to another state. Right.
Mackinac Island, that's great up there, too.
Mackinac is, all seasons of Mackinac. I once rode my bike 1,111 miles around Lake Michigan as part of a summer camp program. And more than anything, I was headed into ninth grade, I think. More than anything, that experience, which was not going far abroad, but that sort of sparked that curiosity in me where everything seemed magical and different and new and was just thrilling. And I was only in Wisconsin, so you can imagine when I discovered that there were more places in the world to go, you know, I was beside myself.
All right, so let's go bring that to, we're going to fast forward. So what kind of traveler are you now? I mean, my point, you know, Mary and I, we're big on island travel. We love adventure travel. We travel with our kids. We're foodies. So if you weren't working in the travel world, because we all know we get to go to some very wonderful places at times, how would you travel and what are some of your interests?
I'm lucky in this field. I'm a walker. I'm a walking traveler. Mm. Anywhere I can walk all day long, I will go. And so I carry my phone with me, and then I count the steps. And last weekend I was in New Orleans, which is terribly exotic, but I love New Orleans. And I think I got up to 19,000 steps, and I didn't feel a single one.
In one day.
I get energized when I'm going somewhere.
19,000 steps in one day. All right.
That was one day. That's a lot better than normally when I'm sitting in my office doing
absolutely
nothing.
Absolutely.
So I love to go places where I can wander and wander and wander. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean only cities, but I love to look at pictures, knock around, stop someplace, eat something, and I like to talk to people.
Yeah, so, I think you can get into lots of the nooks and crannies when you're walking, too, that you can't get into in other ways.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. I did a story on a walking safari, too. So you can even go walk where animals might eat you.
Right,
that
right.
That was in Zambia.
George,
you walk more quickly in that case.
Exactly. I might run. In the time we have remaining, what are some things we can expect to see from National Geographic Traveler in the months ahead? Any special initiatives you're working on?
Well, yeah, we're working on some big ones. The next issue, incidentally, has my story on walking safari in Zambia.
Okay.
And we have this really lovely story that's partly photographed, partly illustrated on 101 Big Sur. And one of the things that we're working to address from time to time is to talk about how tourism plays such a positive role and can contribute to the development of places that have sometimes had misfortunes, such as the mudslides on the West Coast. And on the one hand, they can challenge travel, but on another hand, it's important to go visit places. It's also the case in and around Sonoma after the wildfires. And
sure.
So tourism is constantly evolving, leaves an impact. We cover that. In the same issue, we have a really nice story on Uluru in Australia, and this is written by a guy who launched New Zealand Geographic. But what he's talking about are indigenous rights and how we shouldn't climb Uluru. We don't step on this. But you can still wander and explore and feel the true power of the sacred space in Australia.
Well, George, we're going to have to leave that there. That's going to be in the publication that's coming out now. You said the April issue, correct?
That's right.
Okay. This will
see, we're just
quick,
getting going. But you're going to have to come back.
Absolutely. So we really appreciate the time.
I would love to.
Enjoy the weekend. And, and please, don't be a stranger. You're always welcome here on the show. Appreciate
it. Well, thank you so much. I'll be back next week.
All right. George, thanks.
Take care.
Take care now. All right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right. He really is involved with a terrific publication, so go check out that April issue, and we'll look forward to having George back on the show at some point in the near future.
We certainly will.
I know Rudy's enjoyed all his experiences over the years with National Geographic Traveler, and hopefully we shared a little bit of that with you today as well. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. A reminder to please connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at RM World Travel. We'll be right back after this bottom-of-the-hour break, so don't touch that channel.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.